Good morning, saints. Good morning, sinners. Good morning, people of God. What a great joy it is on this beautiful, cool, crisp morning to welcome each and every one of you. It was I was told it was a little cool this morning in here, and that maybe I needed to produce a lot of energy. I said, "You mean hot air?" to warm it up in here. So it is good to be in your presence as we come this day, celebrating the gifts and the blessings that God showers upon us in the midst of our humanness. May the peace of Christ be with you. Let us rise and pass the peace of Christ to those around us.
Since time immemorial, the mark of a Christian community is that it's one of high hospitality. And this church is no exception. We always welcome visitors and everyone, and we try to get people back who have not been there for a while. So let me begin the announcements. We offer a warm welcome to those who are worshiping with us this morning, especially those of you who are visitors. If you're visiting with us today, please be sure to see an usher after the service, and that they will give you a welcome packet. As I'm sharing our announcements, please complete the form in the red register pad in your row in the pews and pass it to others in your pew, finally returning it toward the center aisle. You may write any prayer requests on the cards in the red register pads and place them in the holders at the ends of the pew, and they will be transported by our ushers to the pastor before the joys and concerns, so that he can raise your concerns to the rest of the congregation. Now, as far as moments of normality, which we have some of those too. The children's collection this week will be given to the Westmoreland Churches Committee. One of the things that we should be aware of is that new member classes will be conducted in September and early October. So please consult your bulletin for that. I'm going to mention a few things. I'm sure that Diane would like to talk to us about the music ministry first.
We need bodies with voices attached. As you can see today, we're kind of sparse on the chancel choir. I know there are those of you out there who sing. You don't have to read music. You just need to make a joyful noise. So if you think that you might be able to come and sing with the chancel choir, please come on Thursday night. It's at 7:15. And also, for those of you who want to be brave enough to try bells, Cathedral Bells is at 6:15 on Thursday night. We still need some new people for that. My biggest concern is for the children on Sunday afternoons. I realize that it's difficult with all of the sporting things that happen on Sundays, but I really hope that your families will find time to get children here for either bells or for singing. We are probably going to change Sunshiners and make it an all-age group, so any ages are welcome to come. That'll be at 4:45 today. And also for Temple Bells, I could use a couple more ringers. So if you could come, that's at 4 o'clock today. And if you cannot make it today, there are forms, I believe, out on the table in the narthex, where you could leave a note, even put it in the offering tray and get some contact information so that I know that you're planning to come, but not today. I would really appreciate it. We need to grow that, and we need to train our children to be worship leaders. Thank you.
Bruce already mentioned a couple things I want to call attention to. Number one, the new members class. If you're interested, that'll start next week during the Sunday school time, and we will be meeting upstairs in what is now the redone library. So you can watch for some signs next week. This week, the children's collection. One of the concerns here in this community is that an individual can have a need financially, whether it be for rent or utilities or wherever that is. And so in order to receive money out of our church, they have to come see me, make an appointment. They bring proof of their income. and then they need a copy of the bill that they need assistance with. If it's rent, I want to see the lease, so that we just know where that money is going and being dispersed to. We never give money to the client. It always goes directly to who the billing people are. One of the problems, though, is someone can come to us in the morning and late morning go to the Presbyterian Church and early afternoon the Baptist and late afternoon the Catholic Church, and we can't keep track of that. This new agency that is listed through Level Green Presbyterian Church is seeking to coordinate that. The last few individuals in the community who have come to us, we've sent to Level Green Church, and they coordinate then the distribution of funds. So we're going to start sending them some resources financially so that they can coordinate and keep all that track of that. We will continue to keep our pastor's discretionary fund so that if we have in-house needs of our own members, that we will be able to care for those individuals. I will be contacting Level Green Church to find out when their board meets with this program. They did send a person last fall or spring to the ministerium and spoke to us, but I'll want to attend some board meetings just so I have a good sense that indeed everything is kosher and going where it's is supposed to be going, and then we'll just continue funding that on a regular basis so that we can pipeline individuals through there. Obviously, someone said, what if they can't travel? We'll take that need as it occurs and respond appropriately. So that's where that will be going today, to help fund that ministry. And as it gets larger, they're going to continue to reach out a little farther and a little farther. But pretty now, it's pretty geographically set to our area. And the hope is to respond then to greater needs all throughout the county.
Okay, this is a warm and caring church that remembers what has been said in Scripture, that we are to be warm and welcoming to any strangers because many have entertained angels unaware. Okay, I'm going to highlight some of the activities that are still to be mentioned. Basically, this is an extremely active church, and so you will find many, many opportunities to serve in whatever way you prefer. But I think for this morning, I'm just going to highlight some of the things that are coming up. For example, a Disciple Bible study is coming up on Thursday. September. pretty soon. You should be able to see it in your folders. Okay, the Member Care Committee that's been mentioned. There's a group that plan on creating a sharing article with Christmas, for Christmas. There's a women's book study, and that will begin on September 24th. If you're a woman and you're ready to read, that's a good place to be. There is a men's work team that goes on, and one of the great strengths of this church is that there is a group of men. The only criteria is you have to be able to hammer a nail and do it straight. I can't do that, by the way, but maybe many of you can. Remember that. There were a lot of people present at our alternate worship, so remember that. It needs your support, even if you're not normally desirous of the alternative worship. You might come and find out that it's really highly desirable and important thing. So let us rise for the call to worship. Oh, I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've done this, so we'll let Diane play. Thank you. When you desire to show your love for the Lord, music such as was just played is quite memorable. But let us rise for the call to worship. Welcome to you, the weak and the strong. Welcome to you, sinners and saints. Welcome to you, forgiving and forgiven. Let us bow our heads for the opening prayer. God of love and grace, bind us together this day, even as you have welcomed us, so that we may welcome one another. Speak to our hearts, that we may hear your words and hear your call to live as a community of acceptance and love. Amen. The hymn of praise this morning is number 463. Lord, speak to me.
Seated. And how's everyone this morning?
Keep coming.
And how's school going today? You had a good week? Have you learned anything new? Not really. Has school been a waste? A little? Have the lunches been good? What's been your favorite school lunch? Walking tacos. I've never had one of those. How do you catch them? Is it in a bag? And you can walk around while you're eating it. Do you use a fork or a spoon? Or a spork? You know what a spork is? Yeah. All right. What's your favorite lunch? Salad bar. I would love the salad bar. Anyone else have a favorite lunch? What? Something sour popcorn chicken. Sweet and sour popcorn chicken. Wow. Smoothies. Like fruit smoothies. Kind of. Anyone else have a favorite lunch? We had pancakes last week. What? You want to tell me what your favorite lunch is? Grilled chicken. I like chicken. Eggs. Grilled chicken, yeah. Eggs on bread. Gooey. Scrambled. You know what the hen said when she saw scrambled eggs? That's a bunch of mixed up kids. Yeah, the mixed up eggs, mixed up kids, yeah. Did you ever get mixed up? Like, when you were at school, did you ever get turned around and go down the wrong hallway? Yeah. Yeah. And then, did your teacher get mad? Mad at you? No? All right. Like, sometimes, if you don't have food that you like at lunch or packed, maybe you get, oh, I have to eat this again. Do you ever get a little angry? Do you ever get angry with another student or friend? Mom or dad's, grandma or grandpa, brothers or sisters? You get mad at a cousin? Oh, your friend Kirsten. Oh, your brother's friend. I know. Kirsten. Okay. Carson. Well, you know, sometimes when we get mad, we might do things or say things that aren't very nice. Yeah. And
Even we as adults do that. We don't always do the right thing. Sometimes we say things that aren't nice, or we do things that aren't nice. What do we call that? S-I-N. Bless you. We get angry and sometimes we sin, and we have to ask Jesus for forgiveness and say, I am sorry. Sometimes we have to say that to other peoples. You know, I'm sorry. There they go. They're done. I'm not. And the nice thing, though, is that God always gives us forgiveness. God always forgives us, and we can say, I'm sorry, and then it's wiped away and gone. Does your teacher ever write on the board and then erase it? And it's gone. That's how God treats our sin. I wanted to say chalk, but I know they don't always use chalk anymore. Sometimes it's smart boards or markers or computer, and you can hit the delete key and it's gone. Gone forever. And that's when we ask Jesus for forgiveness because of things we've done wrong. They're gone. It's deleted. Yep. And that's a joy. Same letter down and redo it. Sometimes you have to type over it and fix it, or the delete key. Math, you got to get the right math problem. Yep. All right, let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are thankful. For all of those who care for them, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, special adults, teachers, we are grateful. Continue, oh God, to bless them and use them for great things within your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
One thing I forgot to mention a while back when the subject of the music ministry of the church comes up, there is a wide area of participation, but I just wanted to mention that if you want to join the bell choir, it's all right if you're a ringer. So remember that. It's all right if you're a ringer, if you want to join the bell choir. Think about it. It'll come to you. It took a while for me even to think of it. Oh, you don't have to be a ding-a-ling, but it helps. All right. The scripture of the morning for the Old Testament is Exodus 14, 19 to 31. It's a familiar story, but we should listen carefully, for many things are going on here. The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came before the army of Egypt and the army of Israel, and so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down on the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so that they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the water may come back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and chariot drivers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. The waters returned and covered the chariots and the chariot drivers, and the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed them into the sea, not one of them remained. But the Israelites walked on dry ground through the sea, the waters forming a wall for them on their right and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord did against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord and believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. It's now time to call for the ushers for our offering of the morning and the tithes.
Thank you.
filled our lives with a surplus of love and grace, yet we are too often stingy with forgiveness for others. While Christ's sacrifice on the cross removed the weight of our sin, we continue to blend in with a world that is intent on keeping score and settling debts. May the gifts that we give this morning, small in comparison with all we received, help strengthen the church's ministry of love and compassion. In our giving, may we make a witness as those who have been forgiven much and who seek to have Christ-like grace shine through our lives. We pray this in his name. Amen.
Please be seated. We invite you now to turn in the back of our worship folders where our prayer list is found. On there to give you some updates, under hospitalized, Donna is in Mercy but is on her way home today, so we rejoice in that. Obviously, Bruce is no longer hospitalized and in our presence today. Betty was supposed to get home. So we rejoice in that. And of course, Dale in RNC facility. All of those individuals, I'm sure, would covet your prayers during this week, as well as the rest of those in the nursing homes and those who are listed there between continually in our prayers, the monthly ones, and then our service personnel as well. Some additional ones here to add. Pray for Sandy having shoulder replacement Monday. Thank you, Sandy. Pray for Rhonda. She has deterioration of the spine. We'll be meeting with a specialist. And then prayers for Ryan recovering from brain cancer. He's only 15 years old. So we'll want to remember those individuals and keep them in our prayers as well. Let us continue with uniting our hearts and our spirits as we share together in our prayer hymn number 389, Freely, Freely. Gracious and loving God, you are so generous in giving to each and every one of us. All that we have, all that we are gifts from you. Your Son, Jesus Christ, freely and willingly walked that road to the cross and offered his life for each and every one of us so that we might experience grace and forgiveness. Oh God, we are indebted to you. Every single day, you continue to shower gifts and blessings upon us. Those gifts, blessings, and talents to be used within your kingdom. Oh God, we pray that we will be faithful and good servants and stewards over all that you have given us. Oh God, we pray for our mission and ministry. Us as a church, us as families, us as individuals. For you challenge us, O God, to go forth into the world to be your servants, to be those who allow the light of Jesus Christ to radiate forth from within us that his presence might be seen in our faces. O God, we pray that his joy might always be represented as smiles on our faces. Even in the midst, O God, of those hurts and struggles, we know the struggles and the pain that Jesus went through. In the midst of the joys and celebrations, the ups and the downs, O God, may we continually celebrate life because you are a part of us. You surround us every single day, and we are never alone. O God, continue to guide and to direct us, shaping and molding us into that person that you have created us to be. Oh God, we know that you also call us to pray for others. You know our needs, oh God, before we even ask. You know our humanness and our shortcomings in our askings. For those joys and celebrations, those hurts and those needs, for those healings, oh God, physically, spiritually, emotionally, oh God, we pray for the health and wholeness of your people. Those on our prayer list, those names voiced today, those situations, O God, that just cannot be made public at this time. O God, we pray for your healing power and presence. We pray for comfort, for grace, for forgiveness. O God, we pray that you continually might be sensed within the lives of each of us. For there are so many times, O God, that we think that we are journeying each and every day alone, but you are as close to us as the very air that we breathe. And so, O God, as we leave this place and go out into the world, might we be especially aware in the days, the weeks ahead of your presence guiding and directing us. For you, O God, are the one who sends us to be your representatives to the world. O God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we make preparations to hear our gospel for us this day, words of Scripture, if you are able, I would invite you to stand where you are. Hear these words from the 18th chapter of Matthew. Then Peter came and said to Jesus, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions and payment to be made. The slave fell on his knees before him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, said, Pay me what you owe. Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay his debt. And the fellow slaves saw what had happened. They were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, "You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart. May God's blessing rest upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day, for they are the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, we are grateful for the words of Scripture, for their teaching and claim upon our daily lives. Now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we pray that you would give us rest. Rest perhaps from those that we need to offer grace and forgiveness to. Perhaps also those things past, present, and yet to come that tend to grab our attention. O God, we pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, that they will be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Matthew chapter 18 is a fascinating chapter. If we go back up a few verses, we'll read about another situation of grace and forgiveness dealing with a church member who has sinned against you, and how do we reply and respond to that? And Jesus says, well, you go to that person and you ask for grace and forgiveness. If it's not received, then you take another two or three people with you so that everything that's spoken might be heard and documented. And if that person still won't repent, then you haul them in before the church. And if they still will not repent, then you let such a person be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector. You let them be as an outcast in society. Matthew chapter 18, two passages filled with stories of grace and forgiveness. What an interesting passage to be dealing with on this Sunday after 9/11. Grace and forgiveness, perhaps a challenge. Peter comes to Jesus, though, and asks some questions that we really want to ask as well. How often do I forgive a person who sins against me? Now, Peter even offers what to him appears to be a very generous answer to his own question. Do I need to forgive someone as many as 7 times? Well, probably Peter came up with that number because the Jewish law, the rabbinic tradition, was that you forgave a person 3 times and then you were done. So Peter probably takes that number and doubles it and, well, then for good measures throws in another time and comes up with the number 7. 7 is kind of seen as a holy number. We know there are 7 days in a week. We know that there are 4 corners, as we would say, north, south, east, and west, and we see God as the Trinity, you know, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so when you look at that 4 plus 3, you come up with 7. Peter thought that he was going beyond being generous and figures that at some point he's going to get a warm pat on the back and say, "Oh, Peter, you've come up with a wonderful number of 7. But then Jesus replies and says, well, it's not 7 times, Peter. And depending on your translation, some of them read 70 times 7, and some of them will read 77, as does our text this morning. But regardless, those numbers are misleading. While Peter is looking for a number answer, because we all know, we like to know the rules, we like to know the boundaries, the regulations, Jesus is not willing to provide an answer. In essence, Jesus is interested in providing his answer, not how often, but rather why. Why forgive? Peter, why are you even asking? Jesus' answer is that the Christian must forgive because God has forgiven you. And therefore, since God's forgiving is unlimited, your forgiving is to be unlimited as well. Now let's look at this parable in today's terms. The 10,000 talent debt. Now, one talent was 15 years' wages. So this servant owed 10,000 talents, 150,000 years worth of salary. Woo! Anybody want to take a guess at what the average U.S. salary is, according to one website I saw? And of course, you know, you read it on the internet, so it's got to be true. Bonjour. Anybody want to know what's the average U.S. salary? 50,000, a little high. 30, a little low. 47 is what this site said is the average U.S. salary right now. So if $47,000 is what we're going by, then this first individual owed slightly over $7 billion with a B dollars. You can take a deep breath for your mortgage or your car loan or your student loans and be thankful that you don't have a $7 billion debt. Someone said to me after the first service, "What in the world was that person doing? It's a parable." He then meets a fellow slave and refuses to adjust his debt, which is 100 denarii, a denarii being a day's wage, probably 3 months because they didn't have the weekend off like we supposedly do, but it probably would be then around $18,000. So you've just having a $7 billion debt forgiven, and you won't forgive an $18,000 debt. See the huge chasm between the two amounts that this individual is dealing with. Now, there's a couple things we can learn from this parable. The New Testament teaches us that we must forgive in order to be forgiven. We've already shared together the words of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Whoever will not forgive their fellow human being cannot begin to hope then that God will forgive them. Divine forgiveness and human forgiveness go hand in hand. If we do not forgive, we will not be forgiven. And of course, one of the great points of this parable is this huge gap that exists between the two amounts, $7 billion and $18,000. The servant must have felt hopeless, and he's asking on his knees for mercy, and he receives the king's compassion. And then he's not even willing to forget a drop in the bucket of his fellow slave. You see, the point of the parable, in contrast to Peter's request for a number, is to open our eyes to the magnitude, the amount of the debt of sin that is forgiven each and every one of us. The whole thrust of the parable is to try to bring the two together, and yet Peter just can't grasp hold of it. And the servant does not respond to his fellow servant in the way that the king responded to him. We have been forgiven so much, we are called to go and to do likewise. In the epistle 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8, we read these wonderful words. Beloved, Let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because God is love. Well, we can substitute forgiveness for the word love. Beloved, let us forgive one another because forgiveness is from God, and everyone who forgives is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not forgive does not know God. For God is forgiveness. We simply, if not easily, pass along the forgiveness that we have experienced. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Do we really want God to forgive us our sins in the same manner and way in which we forgive others? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, your grace and forgiveness is just beyond our comprehension. You call and challenge us to go and sin no more, and even when we come back, perhaps with our tail between our legs, yes, we did it again. You are gracious and you are forgiving. And you call us to go and to do likewise. Oh God, may we move on and live into perfection as we seek to be your perfect servants in the world. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn, number 368, My Hope Is Built. Our gracious and loving God, our hope is built upon you, upon your grace and your forgiveness for us, your grace and forgiveness through us to the world. Continue, O God, to bless and anoint us as you send us out into the world. We might be your church, your disciples, your servants. For we go in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.